Coming to the Greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to hour number two of Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW Green Bay's radio talk.
And our playing music that we like to use, this Tina Turner, Simply the Best, is because Green Bay, the Greater Green Bay Committee, was chosen as the best place to live in the United States by U.S. News and World Report. And we're proud of that. A very close second, or something that probably helped us achieve our number one status, was surrounding communities. And one of the best is the city of Oshkosh. And John and I have been talking about that all week because we've been at EAA. And, you know, they bring in 650,000 people, Johnny. Think about that.
That's
what, eight Packer games or six?
Yeah, that's what we figured, about eight Packer games in 1 week.
And that's a lot of people that you got to have the infrastructure. But what they've done in Oshkosh, and we've been downtown, there's a couple of their restaurants, looked at the waterfront, some new housing. Of course, they have the university down there. But it's working. You know, we had, I forgot the guy's name from the community foundation, Bill, someone that was on, but the guy that's making it all happen is the city manager. You know, he's been there since 2008. Very strong leader. I got to work with him a number of times with the U.S., the Alliance of Cities, the, municipal governments in the state of Wisconsin get together. And, Mark, are you on the line?
I am here, Jim.
All right, great. Well, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I know we tried to hook up at EAA, and, you know, that was a busy, busy time for both of us. And our show, this great time, no, it is a good time slot from 6 to 8 in the morning, doesn't work for everybody. But, you know, you got a lot to be proud of.
It's a great community and a great event for us. So, yeah, I think proximity to Oshkosh is one of the reasons Green Bay does so well in that ranking. So we're happy to give you an assist.
We appreciate it.
Well, we did say one thing Jim and I did say, though, is this week, we're within a 50-mile radius, where could you find two bigger events in the United States versus EAA and Packer training camp?
Oh, yeah, this has just been amazing. But, you know, the visitors who come here, they come with such a wonderful attitude. They're just so friendly. So it really kind of uplifts the whole community through the whole week, because we have people that will just talk to you like they're your next door neighbor. And sometimes they are, because so many people rent out their houses. Two of my neighbors are gone for the week. And so I get to know a group from Kentucky and another group from Illinois, because
right,
it's just a wonderful event where we get to just meet people and talk and, just a lot of commuting.
And one of our first guests on Monday, Mark, that we had on the Mayor and the Mino show, or as John likes to say, the Mino and the Mayor show.
It's anyway, your hour.
Oh, it's my hour. So it's
your hour.
It's now Mark.
Yes. Mark and the Mayor.
But he volunteered for, this is his, 37th year or something, at the International Visitors Tent, and just talked about how it has just grown with families, international families, coming over to the EAA to enjoy a week in Oshkosh and, you know, hopefully sneak up to Green Bay for, like, the Packer training camp, like John said. And you can't get two better events, two, you know, world stages for two things
at the same time
within 50 miles of each other. It's just great.
And if Jim is driving within 36 minutes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, a lot of the visitors will come to see Lambeau,
right,
to see the Hall of Fame, and then they'll just look at a lot of things in the whole area. So the impact of EAA on the entire region, and in this case, the region goes from Milwaukee up to Door County, and it's far right out west to Stevens Point and Wausau.
Yeah, the hotels are sure full. Hey, how are you doing retaining this? I mean, your partnership, I mean, these big events don't happen without a public-private partnership. I mean, anything. You see, we have a small event. Well, it's not a small event. It's a good-sized event, Art Fest. But again, they worked with the city. The city worked with them. The businesses supported it. EAA, I mean, that's how's the planning going? How's the relationship? How are you retaining that?
Well, you know, the planning for every event pretty much starts the day after the event, the previous year event ends.
Right.
And so, you know, next week we'll be talking about, you know, sort of doing the Monday morning quarterbacking, what went right, what went wrong, what things did we learn, what how can we improve? And, you know, EAA is clearly takes the lead on that. Part of the event is outside of the city. So we work collaboratively with the county and the surrounding towns.
Right.
But we sit down and say, you know, for each of our parts, what can we do better? And so our primary support is with fire and EMS, as well as police. Mostly our police do traffic. Mm-hmm. But we talk to them about all those things. We have bus routes that are designed around EAA at this time of year. So we make sure, right, did everybody get to their destination on time? What can we do better? EAA is so focused on making that visitor experience so good.
Yeah.
And when they're focused on visitors and we're focused on visitors, it just clicks.
Yeah. So EAA, they're going to be there. It's been the whole week, but you know, when they're not there, you still got a lot going on. And I just want to tell you, I loved development when I was mayor here, and you got a lot going on in Oshkosh. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, we've got some great things going on along the riverfront. I ran into someone who hadn't been here for a few years. Just this week, they were here for EAA, of course. But our Riverwalk is something that I think we're very proud of. We have a place so that visitors can come and just walk up and down the river and just see all the development that's occurred from the old paper companies and the old lumber mills that were there all those years ago. So that development along the riverfront, our Sawdust District is getting off the ground. Certainly we have the Oshkosh Arena that we're very happy with.
Yeah.
And the Sawdust District development that's occurring. So a couple areas that are really showing some signs of progress and a lot of hope for the future as well.
You know what I really enjoy? Sometimes I fill in with Ted Stefaniak on the Herd games. I love that arena you guys built down there in Oshkosh for the Wisconsin Herd. And they're going to have the Milwaukee Bucks number one draft pick there probably. And I mean, it's you'd be surprised the talent that comes through Oshkosh in the basketball world.
Oh, it just is electric. And, you know, especially when they can attract youth groups to come and they get excited about basketball and, you know, these kids are on their fourth grade team. And it's just like, it's so, you know, eye opening for them. And it's a great fan experience. It's a great family experience too. And that's, you know, that's one of those things you bring that and the families will want to come back. And whether they come back for another Herd game or they come down to one of our museums or just enjoy the lakefront, all those things come together, and it's because of just devoting yourself. As the mayor said, you devote yourself to getting things done, getting development, and fix up what it used to be. And it's wonderful. And we're so proud of a lot of things we've accomplished here in Oshkosh.
I did a story TV-wise a few years back, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. It was this coolest place, Jim. I want to say it was an old Elks Club. It has been converted into kind of like a throwback venue, and it had like the old bowling machines in the basement that were incredible. This place was so cool, and I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, it's the Howard.
The Howard,
it's on Washington Avenue, and they redeveloped it into a wonderful banquet hall. They've had a little plays and musicals and things like that. Wedding venue. It's a wonderful wedding venue. And what they did to that basement. I mean, I don't think you did justice, Mino, because you said bowling machine. These are, you know, bowling lanes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Throwback. They're a throwback to the 1930s.
Complete throwback, Jim. I don't know if they're restored or if they're built this way. It is such a cool thing with this beautiful bar. And I mean, it's a great place. If you ever want to do like a company get together type thing, this place would be awesome. That bowling alley is incredible.
It looks like a little speakeasy from the 30s.
Oh, that's fun.
And you go up and order a drink, you think you're waiting for the feds to show up or something.
You're afraid that somebody's going to go in the bathroom and grab a gun on the top of the toilet tank. And
it's so gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a wonderful venue for different events.
Absolutely.
And that's another part that's helped the downtown as well.
And it just takes everything. And then you've got a variety of housing, which is also important to a city, is that you have workforce or more affordable housing, then you need housing, you know, for people, you know, in the higher incomes, and you seem to be addressing all of that in Oshkosh.
Yeah, we've done some housing studies, and actually the very high end and the low end are where some of our needs are. We've got a pretty good inventory right now of middle, but to attract people, you know, Oshkosh Corporation, they put their trust in us. They rebuilt their headquarters here, and they want to attract people from throughout the world.
Right.
And having housing available is part of that. So that's our commitment to making sure we can attract world-class talent.
Yeah. And the talent that they're trying to attract, and we talked a little bit about this. John and I were talking. We had someone on from Associated Bank a couple days ago. And it's the job is just part of it. Why people choose to live somewhere. It's the environment. It's the community. And you just kudos to you for embracing that waterfront. I just think, I don't know, I go all over the country and
it took a long time for Green Bay to do it.
It did. Oh yeah. No, I'm saying, and he, Mark's done that down there. It's just, it's a God-given natural asset and people love being by the water. You don't have to necessarily be in the water. Just people like to view it, like to walk around. And you put a lot of public park space down there, which I think is terrific.
Well, one of the things I like to tell people about, you know, Jim, you know, as mayor, you know this. I mean, the infrastructure, the water, the sewer, that stuff, that's expected. That's a minimum requirement.
Right.
But when a spouse is interviewing for a job and they go back home and say, hey, honey, I want it. We need to move to Oshkosh because they've got great schools. They've got great parks. They don't say, gosh, the sewers are great.
Yeah. I mean, that's, no.
We it's incumbent upon us to make a great quality of life that will attract a workforce and make our community great. When you bring great talent in, then they bring their families and they get involved in the community and do so much. And that's a huge part of why we need to create great housing and have great quality of life for people to say, I want to make Oshkosh home. I want to make Green Bay home. And that's why I think Northeast Wisconsin is so great.
It is. And you're doing a great job. And I like watching your work. I know our kids have some things in common. We had you had your son and my daughter both went to Drake together. And now he's following your footsteps, huh? He's going to go into public administration?
Yeah, he's a budget director for the city of Rochester, Minnesota. So he comes by it honestly, but you got to blame the parents. You know, they're the ones that lead these kids to these types
of things. When his dad retires, he can move back to Oshkosh because I got a feeling he's going to be doing that. Well, Mark, thanks a lot for your time today. Keep up the good work in Oshkosh and being a good partner with the city of Green Bay. I mean, like you said, we're all in this together. Great place to live, to retain talent, and thanks for inviting us to the EAA. We had a great time there. We'll be back there next year. Hopefully we'll see you between now and then. But good travels to you, and God bless.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. See you. Very nice. All right, we got more coming your way. Mino and the Mayor right here on a gorgeous Friday morning. 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. Back after this.
So nice. I got to you.
Good song, Jason. Little mid-80s.
There you go.
Mid-late 80s. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on WGBW 97.9 FM 1590 AM. You know, Jim, we wanted to wait like a month. Today is the conclusion of our 1 month. Are we going to do the weigh-in? Just give me a yes or a no.
I sent you an email last night, but you didn't open it. I don't think today's a good day. Here's what I think.
Why? Tell me why.
So Sage and Mike hired us, said, look, we want you guys to, you know,
lose weight.
No, they didn't say that. They said, we want you to lean into the community and be, show some leadership in the community on events, on education. Of course, we have the new superintendent joining us next week. And talk about issues that aren't being talked about because so much of the press has gone national and Hunter Biden and Trump, and we want to talk about local issues. And one of the local issues, you know, we have a great guest coming in next week just to talk about some of the drug issues that are facing this country. And here
yes,
in Green Bay.
I want to talk about that. Tom Farley, the brother
awesome.
Of Chris Farley, will be joining us. He's going to be joining us on the phone tomorrow, and then he's going to be joining us in studio in a few weeks. He is a big time speaker about drug abuse and things like that around the country. And that's something we talked about big with Sandra Rank a few weeks ago. I'd like to actually have her sit in with us when we have Tom Farley on. I think that'd be very interesting.
I asked Tom if we could go to breakfast after and just talk a little bit more about maybe things that we can do in this community. But anyway, I want to get to my weigh-in point here.
Okay,
with you.
Here we go.
So when we went down and interviewed, we went down there and told them what we wanted. They were great and said, look, just connect with the community. So then you had this idea to do a weigh-in, and I'm like,
yeah, it was your idea to bring a scale in. I was just going to do it on the honor system.
That's why I brought the scale. I didn't believe that you would be honorable. So that is a true part of the story. So we have Wayne on here, the beekeeper.
Physical therapist, personal trainer.
All about nutrition, farmers markets, buying green. So he's on here, and then we're talking, and everything we're conveying to our listeners is positive. It's like if you listen to us, maybe you can learn something and hopefully be a little bit entertained, and it's all local. So back to the weigh-in. So you and I did like a test weigh-in last week, and I don't think that's good to share with our listeners because everything else we're doing is positive, moving the ball
forward. I think we need to share our failures.
But
I just do. So, and it's a major fail on both parts.
But those of you who stop by the studio, and you're welcome to stop by anytime. We're right down here at the City Deck Landing, 401 Washington Street. And if you stop by, because it's, you know, the Mino and the Mayor, or the Mayor and Mino show, we have M&Ms. And because you're not stopping by as frequently as we thought, we eat a lot of M&Ms. So we come here in the morning and we eat M&Ms and we drink coffee from Anchor, which is next door, and she always wants to feature a new coffee drink with all this sugar and syrups. And so anyway, the bottom line is when John and I did a test weigh-in, I don't know who won because Johnny gained 3 pounds and I gained 4.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think we should share that with our share.
Let's just do it anyway.
I'll
do mine and you don't even have to do yours.
No. I'll give you the money, but I think we should extend it. That's what I told you last night. I said, let's extend it to August 22nd. And that's another, and what we'll do is it's a $100 bet, but we'll go up $25 because it's another 25 days. So it's $125 that goes to the charity of the winner's choice. So obviously the winner is the person who loses the most weight. So that's what I sent you last night, which you never opened. Are you looking now? You're looking at your phone right now?
Well, yeah, because when you say you email me, it's normally a text. You say email for everything,
that's all the same. It's not. I didn't send it snail mail. I didn't write you a letter and put a stamp on it. I sent it to you via the phone. You said, "What do you want me to say now?" I sent you something via
the
phone.
Just say text me.
Okay, I texted you.
Via the phone. Viva La Pata.
All I'm saying is,
wow.
I messaged you.
Okay. Just say text. Hey, texted you.
Okay, I'm not a Facebook guy, and I know you are on that, but I don't do that. But if I say I messaged you, then you would look under...
Well, no, if you said message, then it would look under Facebook.
Right.
But just say text. It's an easy word.
Because I think text. I may have... Are you sure I text you?
Just say text.
Okay. All right.
Just say text.
Did you get my text?
I did not.
Yeah. That's because I emailed you.
Okay. Whichever way it is.
Anyway, hey, Jason, did you get it? I explained the whole thing.
Did you get it?
I definitely got it via text.
And I did not. Okay.
Well, don't know that I copied. Jason, I have all three of us on the same whatever text loop or whatever that's you guys call that.
Well, I don't know what you want me to tell you there, Mayor.
Jason, your excuse. You can answer the phone.
Thank you very much.
Thank
but
you.
I just want to say, Johnny, I did send that to you. And I said, John, let's hold off on this because I want to keep our show positive, educational. And how are you going to lose weight? Here we are.
But it's also reality, Jim. Well, it's reality. We suck at losing weight.
But I don't know. I think we have to be more. We have to show some leadership, John. And I think another 25 days, I think I can show some leadership. I do. I bought some new shoes, and I'm going to get out walking more. And I think if we give it another 25 days, we should extend the bet. The other thing, I just want to say this, and our listeners are weighing in on this. I heard the phone ringing. Does somebody really win if you don't lose weight?
Yes.
I don't think so.
It can either be who lost the most or who gained the least. Those are the categories. And I think that's a very scientific way of doing it. I really and truly do.
The bet was who is going to lose the most. And
but
we
now
both
it's turned
failed.
To who
we both,
lost.
We should go double.
Yes. Who gained the least. I don't think that's a bad thing. By the way, you know, I know we got to get a break pretty quick here, but fascinating thing what you guys were talking about. I didn't know about this between you and Wayne, that some people were coming to the farmer's market just buying stuff from like a store and saying they grew it on their farm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a big thing.
Yeah, and it was. And I don't know. You know, I haven't been in City Hall for a while, but that, and the complaints came from fellow vendors. And they're like, hey, look, this guy isn't growing this stuff. And we promoted the farmer's market as homegrown. Not homegrown like you're thinking with weed.
Not the marijuana.
No.
Thing. Yeah.
Homegrown in terms of vegetables and produce, and people weren't. And so we had a guy. I'm not kidding you. We had a guy that we would send out and, you know, knock on their door and show me your farm. And
wow.
Right. So we want to keep the integrity. That definitely for the Saturday one, right? Because that's truly a farmer's
right.
market.
So that's incredible. I never knew that was happening.
And Wayne is, I think, with our new Beats reporter, he's going to check that out for us. Doesn't carry a badge, but he's very knowledgeable. And I think that'd be great. These roadside stands, are they legit or not? Wayne's going to help us with that. So I'm glad he's coming on board. It's going to be a great report. The Beats report. I love that
On
name.
The Beats. I love it. Coming up next, Brandon Kinnard, sports director, NBC 26. Talking a little bit football, Packer camp, high school football just around the corner. We're going to talk some sports right after this. Huey Lewis on the news, 1985, coming your way. I used to like Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
I liked him a lot.
I think everybody did.
I know. He was great. Whatever happened to Huey, he's not around much anymore. He also, you know what, he always used to, I saw him one time in person.
Oh, wow.
Not entertaining. He was on the sidelines of the San Francisco 49ers game, Packers against 49ers. I think it was one of the most heartbreaking, gut-crushing losses in Packer history. And I was right in the end zone. I was standing in the back of the end zone, really muddy, muddy day. And Steve Young threw that touchdown pass to Terrell Owens right in front of me. That was heartbreaking. Jason, remember that one? I remember doing the show the next day, the postgame show, and it was just like, how in the hell did that happen? I mean, we were already talking about our Super Bowl plans and everything. That was a tough one.
I've been in a few of those games where we're talking about, you know, where we're going next week, and the only place we went was downstairs to watch the game. Right?
I know. Joining us right now. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to say one thing on that when I was mayor. That was a treat to do the sidelines and see the entertainers who were there,
yes.
Right? And I just want to tell you, I'm not a big TV guy, but my youngest daughter watched The Office. Did you ever see that show?
I never missed an episode. I've watched each one about five times.
Oh, jeez.
Why? Okay. You don't love, that's one of the greatest shows ever.
Yeah, and you know what? That surprises me that you watch that, because the viewer of The Office, the viewer of The Office is, the studies, they were a little higher intellectual.
You know, sometimes there's aberration.
There wasn't like a Gilligan's Island viewer. Anyway, she watched that all the time. She's the writer. And we were down there, and the guy from The Office is kind of a bigger guy.
Oh, yeah, he's good friends with Aaron Rodgers.
Right. So
yeah,
he was
he's
down
really
there.
Good friends. Kevin.
She's like, yes.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, my gosh, Dad. And I said, well, you want to go say hi to him? Well, no, because she's very shy. I went over there. I said, hey, look, this is one of your biggest fans. He was so nice.
Yeah.
Took pictures. He put that picture of her on his Facebook.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was just very cool. But anyway, that's so many people that come to. I mean, it is, right? It's something very special. And
people would be surprised who's on the sidelines at times.
Yeah. And it was very cool. But anyway, there's a lot. But anyway,
I got a thing here. Typical politician you got there, Johnny. Not following through with a quick poll. John wins by default. There you go. That's one of my people. Hey, we got Brandon Kinnard coming on, sports director at NBC 26. Talk a little Packer football, talk a little high school sports, all sorts of things. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Brandon, did you grow up on a farm in Luxembourg?
I did not. Both my parents did.
Okay.
I'm a Kinnard, obviously. So, you know, you got the whole Kinnard Farms. That's a little extended family for me. Both my grandparents had small farms. My parents grew up on farms, but I did not.
Okay, and the reason I asked that is because we've been talking a lot about different farm things today and everything, and Jim just said something that we're in the break room and we've got some coffee. Jim brought in some wonderful Starbucks coffee with my little Craig, or whatever you call it, that I brought in, okay? And there's some cream. You brought in the cream, Jim?
I did.
And Jim goes, I wonder if there's any preservatives in this, because this goes till 2024. He goes, it looks really fresh. There's a picture of a cow on it. So that's his determining factor how good the cream is. It's got a picture of a cow on it.
I'm a marketing guy, so that can sell me. Anyway, it looked like healthy cream, but since it lasts for over a year, I'm just not sure it's the most natural cream out there. Anyway, Brandon, I'm not a TV guy at all. You know, like, I know your competitor is the Weather Channel and other. There's so many. You do a really good job of concisely giving us the sports that are going on. And there's a lot of sports going on. And the Packers, you don't even really let the Packers overshadow your sports. I mean, you really give respect to what's going on in our high schools and obviously give the Packers their due as well. And so how are you liking it here? I mean, you how long you been here? Tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll get into some X's and O's of the Packers.
Well, first of all, I think that's the first time anyone's ever called me concise, so I appreciate that very much.
I have never been called that, so not by me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate hearing that. I've been here, actually just had my four-year work anniversary at NBC 26, so awesome. Been here 4 years. This is my overall, I was just thinking about this the other day, ninth year covering the Packers, which feels crazy. I worked in Wausau prior to that, so you know, wasn't covering them the same way, but I was over for games and maybe one practice a week and things like that. I worked at the ABC affiliate out in Wausau. I mean, I'm a Wisconsin guy, man. I'm from right nearby, grew up in Luxembourg, went to UW Oshkosh, worked in Wausau, worked in Green Bay. Aside from a year I spent in North Dakota, I've pretty much been here my whole life. So don't plan on leaving anytime soon.
Great. That's awesome. Tell me a little about Packer camp. 2 days in, and, you know, it's so funny. You know, people are, wow, Jordan Love didn't look all that good in that first practice. It's like, that poor guy is going to be under such a microscope. It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It really is, and it's just kind of the way of the world, John. I mean, you know how that goes, right?
Yep.
We went through it 15 years ago with Rodgers, too, when he was taking over for Favre. And I will say, like, the numbers haven't been that great. Just by my unofficial count during team drills, he was 7 of 14 the first day, I think 5 of 13 yesterday. So he certainly hasn't been super efficient. But I will say, and if you've been out there, you've seen it, there have been some wow moments, though. And yeah, and that's kind of what you expect, I think, at this point in camp is it's not going to be perfect, but the flashes are there. Like, he had a couple of touchdown throws yesterday that were just like, holy cow, did that, you know, he had a perfect one to Jaden Reed, the rookie second-round pick in the back of the end zone, dropped it in right where he needed it. And then another one that he just darted into Christian Watson on the left side of the end zone as well. So, I mean, it's there. The signs are there. Those moments are there. It's just a matter of, I think, developing consistency with him. And that's what LaFleur has said leading up to camp and throughout the first couple of days of camp is we want to see him become more consistent, do this on a day-in, day-out basis. And I think he'll get there eventually. I mean, all the tools are there. It's just a matter of becoming more comfortable, becoming more consistent, and settling into that role.
I love his release.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very natural throwing motion. There have been some times, it's gotten better over the years, I think. I remember when he first came in as a rookie, his footwork was terrible. It was not good. And that's not very uncommon for young quarterbacks. I think they kind of have to settle into that. And I remember looking at his throwing motion back then, and it just kind of looked awkward. But you remember Rodgers when he was young, too, where he held the ball really high?
That was from his coach in college, where he made all those guys go back with that football up next to their jaw, basically. And other than Rodgers, I don't think any of those other quarterbacks really developed in the NFL, because there's a weird style that he used to teach them.
Right.
And the same thing with Jordan Love. You know, college quarterbacks these days, how many times do you really get under center to, you know, take your seven-step drop and scan the field? I mean, you're rolling out, you're running everything's out of the shotgun. So it's a whole new game they have to learn, a lot of these quarterbacks, once they go from college to the NFL.
Exactly. And I think he's learned a lot. I think he's developed a lot in the 3 years. And that's evident. Really, when you look at his first year, he was the third-string quarterback. Second year, he was the backup, but they didn't really seem sold on him. And then really, if you go back to last year, all season, it was, we trust Jordan. Jordan has really developed. And I think that it's just been a natural progression for him. And he's gotten to this point. And the teammates love him. I mean, that's the thing. You could say, oh, it's lip service. They're saying what they have to say about their new starting quarterback. I mean, every single guy says, we love Jordan as a leader. We love him as a football player. He's going to be a good player in this league. And I think you got to take those guys at their word, because they're the ones that have been watching him up close and personal for the last 3 years.
Well, that's encouraging, because that's a big part of the game that I don't think everyone sees and knows. But that locker room can make or break a team.
You're right.
Especially when you get into later in the season.
That is the honest to God truth.
You know? Hey, so, you know, some people are thinking, the glory years are over, right? I mean, we did go from, you know, Favre to Rodgers, and now it's our time to sit out. Johnny doesn't believe that. I mean, John Minor really thinks, he goes, wait, you wait. This kid's really got some talent. What's your, you obviously know the game quite well. What do you think of him? I mean, honestly, do you think he's going to be the guy?
Do I think he's going to be Aaron Rodgers? No. I mean, I think that's too high of a bar to set for anyone. But I think he's going to be a above-average NFL quarterback. I think he has a chance to be a Pro Bowl quarterback, maybe an All-Pro quarterback one day. I mean, it's there. I need to see it. Like, personally, I need to see it in a game. I've seen him a lot in practice. I've seen him a lot in training camps. I need to see him in a few games, really, before I make any kind of declaration of, like, you know, this is his ceiling or this is his bar. But I think they've got something. I don't think they make that move. I don't think his teammates are, you know, lauding him every practice after every practice if he's bad. I think there's something here, certainly. Now, exactly what the level is, how good he can be, I'm not quite ready to say that yet, but I think he's going to surprise some people this season, certainly.
Awesome. Hey, what kind of, you know, in my time in City Hall, my interaction with the Packers was more community involvement, right? Like they had some really nice guys in there. I mean, I happened to think Nick Barnett was one of the nicer Packers. I mean, he'd come out and, you know, we'd put these playgrounds together and shovel wood chips, and the cameras would leave and so would some other people. And Nick would always stick around till it was done. You know, he's just one of the really good guys. What kind of guy is Love? Is he, you think he's going to be involved in the community, one of the good guys, or is he pretty much all business?
I do. I think he'll be involved. One thing that comes to mind, I know this obviously is it hasn't been Green Bay, but he's done a lot of camps. He did a camp back home in Bakersfield, California. He actually went to Paris for a football camp over in France about a month ago or so. So he's kind of involved in that. And as he settles into Green Bay, I imagine that he'll be doing a little bit more here. But in awesome. My interactions with him, I mean, he's a kind of a soft-spoken, really nice young guy.
Well, we had him
to kind of all the tools there.
I'm sorry, but
you had him in the booth.
Yeah, that's what
year,
I was just
right?
gonna say. We had him up in the booth at the game. I forget which game it was now, to be honest with you. But high school.
It was Denmark, Luxembourg, Casco.
That's right.
My neck of the woods.
That's right. You're right. In Denmark, that one was. And they came out, and it was Packers against Cancer night. And Jordan Love came up in the press box with me and Ted Stefaniak and interviewed. He was the nicest guy, and he was interacting with the crowd like you can't believe, throwing footballs into the crowd. And he talked about how he had goosebumps basically walking up. High school football is still such a great sport, and, you know, the great memories that he and his teammate had playing high school football. So
nice.
I don't know how big Bakersfield is, but he's a Rodgers came in a little bit with a California cool sort of attitude, and it actually got worse down the road. And I'm not saying anything negative about it, but I'm just saying how some people have a certain whatever. And I don't feel like Jordan Love has that. He just seems like a real down-to-earth kind of, I'll fit in Green Bay kind of guy. Wouldn't you say, Brandon?
I think you're onto something there with, like, the size of the community, too, because Bakersfield, it's a little bit bigger than Green Bay, but I want to estimate it's probably 200,000, 300,000, so not a huge city. And he went to Utah State in college, too. He didn't play in the Pac-12 like Rodgers did. So he's kind of been a small-town type guy, and I think that helps him fit in here in Green Bay.
How about the rest of the team, man? What do you see in there?
Well, the defense, you guys have heard the offense has had to do push-ups at the end of the first two practices.
Right.
It seems like that's what everyone's talking about. So the defense has certainly been, I would say, winning the day, which is not, even when Rodgers was here, that would happen early in camp. That's just kind of the way it goes. It takes a little more time and cohesion and chemistry on offense for that to get put together, whereas defense, it's like, hey, let's go fly around out here and make plays. There's not necessarily as much team chemistry involved, so they tend to do better early on in camp. I'm really excited about the secondary. I mean, how can you not be? Jair Alexander is one of the best in the game. Rasul Douglas is really good. They've got Keyshawn Nixon, a great kick returner last year, playing the slot corner spot. He looks really good there so far. And one thing that stood out about the defense is everybody's saying, hey, we're more aggressive this year. Rasul Douglas actually joked, it must be Joe Barry's contract year because he's got us out here blitzing, running these different schemes, really trying to make plays. So I think you might see a more aggressive Packers defense this year, and that's much needed because the last few years, especially third downs, you've seen the clips sometimes where it's third and three and the cornerbacks are playing 10 yards off the ball. And it's like, what are we doing? Let's get up and press coverage.
Yes.
I think you're going to see a little bit more pressure, a little bit more aggressiveness from that side of the ball this year.
Brandon, we need you to stick around. We're going to be going to break in another minute and a half.
High school football.
I want to talk a little bit of high school, but tell us about training camp. I mean, How is it going? Is the crowd's good? Are the people getting to see what they want to see?
First day, I was a little nervous because, of course, there was weather and it looked like it might storm. They might have to go inside. And I pulled up to Lambeau about a half hour early and there were a lot of parking spots open. And I said, man, I can't remember this few cars here on a first day of training camp. But then you walk up and on Armed Forces Drive into the bike alley there, and it was just packed, man. It was as many people, if not more, as you typically have. Yesterday, I think, was even a bigger crowd because I think on Wednesday, on day one, the threat of weather kept people away for a little bit. But, yeah, crowds have been great. Players have been hyping them up. They've been very receptive of Jordan Love, certainly. I think he's being treated well by the fans
as
well.
And a free event, right? There's no cost for that. It's a free event for the family?
Absolutely.
Isn't that awesome?
Got to get there early, though.
Okay.
Because there's not a ton of seating over at Ray Nitschke Field.
No.
But, yeah, if you don't mind getting there an hour or so early, getting yourself a spot, getting in line.
All right.
It's a great time.
Hang in there, Brandon. We've got a quick break. Back with more. Brandon from NBC 26. Back after this. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on Friday morning. Wrap it up in a really, really quick two-hour show. 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, Green Bay.
It did go quick.
And Appleton, the entire region.
And we're drinking some pretty high-octane coffee.
I know. I hadn't had coffee in a while. You got this Starbucks. Like, whoa!
Yeah, John kind of took a few weeks off from coffee, and I don't.
I'm at a new level.
Yes, so we...
We're with our man, Brandon Kinnard from NBC 26. Brandon, let's talk high school football. Our special aired last night. Whoever edited that, put it together, did a remarkable job. The promos were spectacular. What? And I'm not talking about my performance. I even put it on my Facebook. Okay, my new goal before the start of the first game is lose 20 pounds, tuck my damn shirt in, and put some hairspray in my hair. Well, what did you think, Brandon?
That's a tall order.
I know.
The camera adds 15.
Okay.
You know, that's the old saying, right?
Why didn't you tell me to tuck my shirt in?
So thank you. Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that.
Wasn't that a great special, though? And I'm not talking about my performance in any way, shape, or form, but just the way guys found that old video, whatever we were talking about, you guys found video from years ago to match.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of fun. I worked most of early portion of last week on that. Great working with you guys, as always. If any of your listeners missed it, we revealed the Sports Showdown schedule yesterday in a 30-minute special on NBC 26. So we're fired up, man. I mean, the first game's 3 weeks away. How crazy is that?
Unbelievable.
It's late July, we're 3 weeks from high school football.
And that's the thing, too. We got an amazing game to start off the season, and we got some other incredible regular season games on the schedule.
Yeah, that first week should be exciting. If for nothing else, it's the grand opening of Nina's new facility over there at their new high school. And if you've seen the renderings, and we had some drone footage of that in the show too, I mean, it looks outstanding. Just a great facility there for the Rockets. They're hosting DePere, same two teams that played to open last season as well. So that should be a really exciting game on TV 32 on, what is that, August 17th, Thursday night.
Yes.
Isn't that... I'm sometimes amazed at, you know, the money.
Oh,
I mean, that
these stadiums these days, Jim?
I know, right? I mean, everybody talked about Texas, you know, they're crazy with high school football. We're catching up.
Certainly. I mean, it doesn't have the seating that some of the Texas ones do. I mean, I think there's a couple down there that have like 20,000 seats available. You know, there's none of that here, but yeah, what Nina's really excited about certainly is the turf.
Right.
They've played on grass at their old Rocket Stadium, and turf is kind of the new way, especially for high school football. Any of these new stadiums that are built are going to have that turf. Players can, you know, run faster, certainly. It's more receptive than the grass, and you might see a little bit more speed out there. Another thing that stands out to me about that stadium, they have their scoreboard on the sideline. Not usually you see the scoreboards in the end zone.
Right.
This one is on the all the bleachers are on one sideline and the scoreboard is on the opposite sideline. So my first thought with that is, man, I wonder if that's a disadvantage for the team that's on that sideline.
You got
to turn your neck, turn your head around to see how much time is left, things like that. So kind of curious to see how that ends up playing out, but apparently it's not the first one. Their athletic director was saying Hudson over, you know, in the western part of the state has that same design, and that's kind of what they modeled it after, and it's gone well for them, too.
You know,
that's one unique thing about that new stadium down at Nina.
We were at Two Rivers High School where we shot it because they're going to have a phenomenal team again this year. I mean, last year they were a juggernaut before getting knocked off in the playoffs, but they're going to be one of the best teams in the state in their division. And Jim's hometown here is Two Rivers, okay? And Brandon, when you asked me, you said, Mino, you know a little something about every small town in our region. Give me a little something. Do you remember what I talked about, the only disappointing aspect of Two Rivers?
Mahoots.
Mahoots closed down.
Yeah, no. I think they're still doing some...
Yeah, it's not the same,
though.
Right. No.
Okay, I'll give you that. But it's yeah, it's still
like the
there.
Bar is open or something.
Right.
That used to have a great salad bar. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, people like you, Jill, that just ate the salad bar and didn't drink enough. Well, no, that wouldn't be you.
No, but then you'd get a little tenderloin and scallops.
That was a great supper
club. And it's a shame. Those are fading away in Wisconsin.
I don't know that they're fading away. Some of them are dormant. I think you're going to see that come back. I'm not kidding you. I think people love... There's a whole tour that you can take of supper clubs.
Yeah, there's books on it and everything.
Right. And there's specials and...
Brandon, you grew up a supper club kid, I'll bet, right?
I did, yeah. I mean, I miss Wally's still, the spot in Green Bay. That was one of my go-tos.
Yes.
And, you know, the wife and I will definitely find one, you know, at least once every couple months and head out to. I'm a big French onion soup fan.
There you go.
Any place that has good French onion.
Liver pot.
Really? What about, is that when they put the bread in the soup?
Well, they put cheese on top of it. The bread
in
the soup.
I'm not a fan of bread in soup.
You look at that so wrong. It's au gratin, right? Isn't that right, Brandon? They put the...
Yes,
the,
sir.
It's first of all, it's French bread, and and then they put cheese over it and melts, and that's all part of the soup.
But soggy bread and soup?
Yeah, see, that's the way you would look at it. That can see why, yeah.
Somebody texts us like, but you got to go back to the old days of quick pull. And you know what? We're going to start doing that down the road here with our listeners. Quick pull. Soggy bread and soup, yes or no?
Well, that's not scientific. Okay, yeah, Brandon, back to you. Brandon, tell me a little bit about Two Rivers. That's my hometown. I went to school at Roncalli, though. But you think they got the team this year?
It certainly seems that way. They've got a lot of their weapons back from their team last year that went 12-1, I want to say. They lost one game, their last game of the season, and it was to Waukesha Catholic Memorial, which is like a powerhouse team that goes to the state championship game, it seems like, every single year. And they only lost to them by 6. And a big part of that is because their star running back got banged up late in the game when they were driving to try to tie the game. And he had to leave because of an injury, and that kind of killed their momentum. And obviously they didn't have their best player. But, yeah, I mean, they are a really exciting squad this year. They definitely have high expectations, and we're excited to go out there, too. It's, as far as we know, and Mino, I think, has confirmed this, it's the first time we've been to Two Rivers for
absolutely.
Sports Showdown.
Yep, no question.
Which seems crazy to me for as long. I mean, Showdown's been going on for 20 plus years now, right? So we're really excited to get out there, showcase that community and that team. And they play Keele too, which is no slouch in their own right when we're out there in week 5. So
that'll be fun.
I think that's going to be an exciting one.
And
Bayport Kimberly week 2.
That's what I was going to ask about. Go ahead.
Mention. Yeah,
that's going to be the biggest regular season game in the state this regular season, don't you think?
It certainly could be. As far as I know, it's the first time they've met in the regular season, at least recently. It typically is a playoff matchup between those two, like state semifinal, state quarterfinal, that kind of thing. But that's the two marquee programs in this area. I mean, you maybe want to put Appleton North, Fond du Lac in that mix as well. I think they deserve mention as some of the best programs that have been really consistent. But for the last few years, it's been Bayport and Kimberly, and they're playing each other week 2 this year. Because they both struggled to find non-conference opponents, because when you're good, nobody wants to play you, right? So they figured, what the heck, we'll play each other. And that is as big of a game as I can remember. I think you said it on the show last night, John. That's as big of a game going into the season in terms of kind of hype and excitement. And, wow, we really have this one, on our air. I can't remember another one with more hype than this one.
Never have. We've never had one like that. What a great way to start the season with those first two games. Brandon, it's been fun having you on. Once again, great job at putting that special together that we had on last night. If people didn't see it, is there a way for them to still stream it or anything like that anywhere?
I'll have to check on that, actually. I'll have to check with our digital team to see if there's any plan to get it online. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
One more challenge for you. You got to get Nina on our show.
All right. Well, I'll give you Nina's number.
All right.
And tell her she got to bring me hairspray when she comes out to those games.
A lot more than that, but
no problem on that one. She'll be happy to help out the legendary John Mino.
Brandon Kennard, you're the best, buddy.
You are.
You're going to be a regular on here.
Stay concise.
We got to go, everybody. Thanks very much, Mino. Have a phenomenal weekend. See ya.